welcome to show number 4 for the Ears to the Parks podcast. In today's show, we're going to be talking all about the pros and cons of staying on-site compared to off-site, for both, really. It's not just going to be with me. I'm here with Tom and Hannah as well. Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome back.
Hi.
How are we doing?
We're doing good, sir. Interesting that we're already on episode 4. It's going well.
I know. It's going by fast. And I'm still unsure whether we're saying it's show number 4 or episode number 4. I'm leaning towards show. I'm not sure. We'll figure that one out.
It'll come by, naturally.
Exactly. And today, random, as of today, as of recording, today, if you have been following along with it, they announced the 10 finalists for the UK, what is it again? Hashtag
UK's biggest Disney fan.
Now, it's been a long time coming. A few of us from the podcast actually entered. Unfortunately, we didn't get anywhere. But I'm excited to see where it's going to go. It does look like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I just wanted to get to spend the night in Cinderella Castle. That's all, really.
I think it would be interesting to see what the different challenges and things are, like if they're showing them as they go along, and sort of how well we think we would have actually done to go with them.
I know, like if it's just around the parks, and I feel like I would be good with finding locations and clues about parks and areas of the parks, but I feel like it's not just going to be that. It's going to be a lot more to it.
Did they not end up going to each of the parks as well across the world?
I think they're going to Disneyland Paris, Walt Disney World, and did they say on the cruise as well? On Disney Cruise
Line, I'm fairly sure the cruise was involved. Because, yeah, if they do go further afield as well, I feel like I know a bit about some of those parks in Shanghai and Japan, and I feel like if it got into the really nitty-gritty details, I'd potentially end up struggling a bit.
Yeah, I feel like I'd be good with the Walt Disney World portion of it. Again, I haven't been to Disneyland Paris since I was a child, so that's all new to me. And I've never been on a Disney cruise, so I probably wouldn't do as well as I had hoped. But anyway, enough with that. Let's get into it. And again, as mentioned earlier, we are going to be talking about the pros and cons of staying off-site versus on-site. I think we should start off-site and talk about that a little bit first before we get into on-site, because there's quite a lot of things on-site to cover, but there's also quite a lot off-site. So we'll head off-site. I feel like I'm saying on-site, off-site quite a lot. But yeah, the first time I ever visited Walt Disney World, and multiple times after that, it was off-site. And I had the best times ever. Obviously, that's what got me into Disney in the first place, and traveling and going to Walt Disney World. It's only in the past, I'm going to say six years, that I actually started staying at Disney resorts.
What was your first on-site?
My first on-site was, Pop Century.
Okay, strong contender.
But before that, we said our main area off-site used to be International Drive area. Thinking back, the first ever time that I went was at Westgate Lakes Resort, which I believe is timeshare as well. But we never actually bought into the timeshare.
Didn't fall for the traps.
No, we never bought into the timeshare at all. That's something that I wouldn't do. It's not worth it. But then Disney does offer their own variation of a timeshare as well. But
that's one that everyone wants to buy into.
I would buy into that if I had the money, yeah.
It always amazes me, like, that people at 8 and night, all credit to them, that they're able to get into DVC is definitely something I'd do. But it's a heavy investment.
Definitely, yeah. Okay, let's start off talking about location wise. Now, obviously, if you're staying at a Disney resort, you're going to be in Disney, which is a given. But staying off site, there's various areas that you can stay. You could stay at a villa, literally a 5-minute drive away from a park entrance. Or, as I just mentioned, I've stayed on that International Drive, which is potentially on a busy day, up to an hour's drive. That's a big downfall. Obviously, you're either going to have to take a bus or a shuttle, because sometimes a lot of the places nowadays offer shuttles for free from off-site hotels, but usually they only run once or twice each
way. The timings are very unuser-friendly for a lot of them. I know the shuttles for one of the hotels I usually stay at, they run at maybe like 9 o'clock for the pickup in the morning, and then they'll actually only normally drop you off at normally Epcot, I think, and then you have to make your way to wherever you're going from there, and then the pickup is something silly like 7 in the evening, so you're very restrained on what you can do with some of the hotels.
You're never going to be able to get there. You're never going to get there for rope drop, and you're never going to be out there long enough to see the fireworks or any nighttime entertainment that they have at the time. I believe the last off-site resort I stayed at, the bus dropped you off at the transportation and ticket center, and then you had to make your way
makes
out
more sense.
From there, which is great, but if it takes you a good... If they're doing stops along the way, if you've got 3 or 4 hotels to pick up from, again, the drive could be about an hour just to ticket and transportation center. And then if you had to get to, say, Hollywood Studios, you could be waiting for a bus and still take another 40 minutes.
It's a big chunk of time.
That's almost 2 hours of the day. And like you said, sometimes the buses don't pick up until 9 a.m. So it's going to be 11 a.m. by the time you actually get into the park. And then if you're getting picked up at 7 and have to make your way back again, that's a majority of your day taken up by that.
I think it's good to remember as well when you're saying about location. I think you can get lost in the idea that just because you may be staying on site that you're closer, and there's actually quite a few, mainly the value hotels, that are actually a little bit further afield. And then if you're using Disney transportation, you can still be taking sort of 20 odd minutes, 20, even 30 minutes to get where you're going. And there's a good few hotels that actually, they're so close to some of the entrances, that especially if you've got a hire car or something, you can be at park entrance in 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And now that they've returned the free resort parking back as well, it makes it easier for you to take a car or get a hire car. And depending on how you run it, because I know obviously they're not selling annual passes currently at the moment, but if you have an annual pass, you're going to get free parking at the parks as well, or parking included in the price of the annual pass. As well.
Nothing's free at Disney. Included in the cost.
But then again, if you could also rent a car off-site. And again, if you're down International Drive or around that kind of area, it could take you half an hour to get to the park. But then again, you've got parking fees on top of that. So rather than taking the free transportation bus, you're going to be paying for a car, paying for fuel, paying for insurance, paying for parking, which adds up to quite a lot. And of course, the other option is to take an Uber or a Lyft, which are a lot more common nowadays, so it's a lot easier to get those.
Yeah, I've always driven and then sort of taken Ubers on the odd occasion where maybe I've gone to Epcot and had a drink, or wanted to go to one of the resort bars or something in the night. And I don't think I've ever really had to wait much more than, I think, 20 minutes max is probably my longest wait. And especially if you compare it between Ubers and Lyfts, I don't think you're really ever going to be paying that much over the odds for car sharing services.
Yeah, I think the last time I was, well, probably not with, yeah, it would have been when I was there, around from Disney area to Universal area, it was about $40, I think. But that's pretty much the maximum that you're going to be going. Majority of resorts or hotels are closer than that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's going to be the biggest factor as well, is just where you are actually located. Because like you said, you've always sort of stayed around International Drive when you've been off-site. Obviously, everyone knows that area. It's not one I've stayed in. I tend to stay just by Old Town Kissimmee.
Sure.
Or Kissimmee, however you pronounce it. And yeah, like I said, it's like 5 minutes down the 192, and you're right on property. So it's a really handy little location that you've not got far to go for anything.
Exactly, yeah. But talking about wait times, just because, as you said, just because you're on Disney property doesn't mean that essentially you're going to get there faster, because sometimes I've been waiting for buses at Disney resorts or at the parks for a good 30, 40 minutes before they even arrive. And then...
Yeah, the schedules aren't tight.
Yeah, and then if you have two resorts to drop at as well, that could be another 30, 40 minutes as well. So it's yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it seems like it's basically just one bus that's just doing one loop, and you've just gotta wait.
Yeah, and especially if you're leaving early in the morning at rush hour, let's say, or coming home once the park's just let out. You could be waiting for 3-4 buses, maybe, depending on how busy it is. And obviously, at those busy times, they do put extra bus services on. But it's not great when you see buses come, load, and then leave, and you're like, oh, I have to wait. And then it happens again. And then it happens again.
Yeah, also, when I said that all Star Spokes, that was like the worst, because they were always packed, and then you have to drop off and pick up at All-Star Movies and All-Star Music. And look, we were waiting like 40 minutes, 50 minutes for a bus. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yes.
Rough. I think it's at that point where you actually start to think, you know what, I'm just going to pay for that Uber.
Yeah, especially if it's late at night as well. Especially like straight after the fireworks when it's so busy.
You've already waited an hour to get on the ferry or the monorail.
Yeah, it's definitely worth that extra little bit once, especially if you have little ones as well that are fast asleep on you and you just want to get them home. I've been that little one at times where I'm literally sat on the curb, falling asleep, just wanting to get back to the hotel. So I definitely
That's a hot tip. If you are coming out at peak time, especially Magic Kingdom, when you've got ferries and monorail loaded up on the queues, get that bus back to Ticket and Transportation Centre. It might take like 5-10 minutes while you're on there waiting for other people to get on, but you're going to be back so much quicker, and you don't need that magic of the monorail at the end of the night. You just need your bed.
And how do you feel about that one? A lot of people do it, and a lot of people hate the people that do it. Taking the resort monorail around Polynesian and then walk in TTC.
I don't know. I think I've probably done it at one point, but I don't know. Is it that much quicker?
I'm trying to think now. Does the resort monorail stop at TTC as well? Or is it just goes literally just the resorts?
It should stop at TTC.
Because maybe...
Because I believe you can park at TTC and then get the resort monorail to...
Yes.
The resorts if you need to.
No, that would make more sense and be the reason why a lot of people, obviously you can tell I'm not one of those people. I've heard of this. I've heard of this, but I've never really done it. But yeah, I'm not condoning that. Obviously the resort monorail are for resort guests. But that is what people do, or what I've heard of people doing, at least when it's very, very busy. Okay.
Maybe you just need to stop in at Trader Sam's for a quick drink at the end of the night.
That's always an option. I would definitely recommend that. Okay, so moving on from distance-wise, should we talk about food? I'm always here to talk about food.
Food is good.
Again, starting off-site, a lot of off-site hotels do offer or include breakfast with the price of the resort or the hotel.
So yeah, definitely wouldn't say it's... I wouldn't say it's the common thing that's offered. Obviously, it's more common than Disney because it's just straight up not included at any Disney resort. But I'd say probably 40 to 50% you can normally book a bed and breakfast package. Mm-hmm.
But even if it's not...
And it's normally still coming cheaper.
Yeah, and even if not, you can find an IHOP or Denny's or something nearby.
Exactly.
And get a full meal or a full breakfast with drinks and tip included for the price that you'd pay for a resort quick service at Disney. So you have to think whether you want something quick and on the go, a little bit more pricey, or whether you'd prefer to take your breakfast time a little bit slower and enjoy it and make it a little bit cheaper as well.
Yeah, that's definitely the great thing about offsite. No matter where you are, like obviously International Drive, you've got tons of restaurants and cafes and diners down that strip. But wherever your villa or your hotel is going to be, there's going to be a good handful of options for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. Big chains that you know, big American chains that you might not get over here, your Taco Bells, your Wendy's, your Denny's. And like I said, they're so handy to have. And while they might not be cheap, it's a lot cheaper than what you're going to be paying for less food at Disney.
Exactly, yeah. And depending on where you're staying and what kind of resort you're staying at, if you have a kitchenette or if you're staying in a villa with a full kitchen and you have a car, if you drive to Walmart, you could get full supplies for breakfast and dinner if you're that way inclined.
You mispronounced Publix.
But yeah.
I love Walmart, but Publix is the place to go.
I mean, I will agree with that one. Yeah, Publix is a lot nicer. But if you did want to go to a supermarket and pick up supplies, you could...
Supermarkets are available in your area.
You could basically cook your entire trip. And if you did want to do that, again, that's not for me. I prefer to spend as much time as I can out doing things. But you could potentially buy food for the 2 weeks or week for the price of what you spend on one day's worth of food between a family in a park. So that is a big, yeah, big money-saving thing.
Supermarkets definitely are more expensive over there, but I think a lot of that has actually ended up coming down to just the exchange rate has just obviously been so heavily dropped over the past few years that actually, if you were to go back sort of 10 years ago, the prices may not be that much different, but obviously you're getting your value so much more. So they are, you know, you'll hear people saying that the supermarkets are so much more expensive, and they are more expensive, but it's still all in comparison.
Except for fresh produce. Fresh produce in the US is extremely extortionate. Yes,
and you cheese. Get a lot of it though.
But yeah, with staying on site at Disney food wise you're kind of stuck having whatever they offer, unless you make an effort to get out of the Disney bubble. Your only options are what Disney offer to you, and that's fine. I'm fine with that. For me, But some people might not be, or they might want something a bit more familiar, something a little bit, especially if they're from the US, something that they know, something a bit homely, or just want to keep it on the cheap side. Especially, like we said, if you have a car and you can drive out of Disney to get to these places, it makes it so much easier.
I think that's where they probably miss out as well, is if you're on site and at one of the values or even the moderates, your in-resort options aren't normally going to be great. You've got a lot more options in some of the deluxe hotels, but it's not easy to get between the hotels. You know, there's no direct transport between any of them. You'd have to either bus or ferry to a park, go to Disney Springs, and then get secondary transport. So I do think they're missing a bit of a beat there, but it's obviously then quite difficult to organise any sort of semi-regular transport between, what, maybe 20-odd hotels that they've got now.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Going back in time a little bit, Disney did used to have a familiar outside food inside of the parks. And if you know, you'll know where I'm headed with this, because Disney used to host a number of McDonald's locations inside the theme parks.
They still have the world's biggest McDonald's on property, don't they? But it's not in the parks.
I think near the
car service center, is it?
I think the world's biggest one that they're referring to is on International Drive, as far as I'm aware. Okay. But they do still have the McDonald's near the car center, but they did used to have McDonald's locations. I don't think they served the full menu, and I think mainly it was the McDonald's fries, but they did serve them inside of the park, which is why you'll see...
I never knew that.
Which is why you'll see on Dinosaur, you've probably heard this before, which used to be sponsored by McDonald's. As you're walking through, you'll see the red, white, and yellow pipes.
Ah, yes, yes, of course.
Red, white, and yellow pipes with the chemical symbols or the chemical
formulas for ketchup, mayo, and mustard.
That's correct. But yeah, they used to have McDonald's fries, a McDonald's location outside in Dinoland. And I'm trying to think of what the name is now. Just that little stall just outside of Pico's Bills, which, again, you very rarely see open.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Just outside, yes. Just as you're heading towards Pirates. And I can't remember the name
of it. Yes, I know which one you mean.
But they used to serve McDonald's goods there as well. Let's talk about shopping, shall we? Now, a lot of people are going on holiday, obviously going as tourists and buy a lot of gifts and merchandise and things to take home for family, friends, or for themselves. If you're staying on Disney property and you have no option of getting out anywhere, you're going to be stuck with Disney gifts and Disney prices. Now, personally, I think Disney's own merchandise is a heck of a lot better than you'll find outside these gift shops and things.
Oh, yeah.
But the price reflects that. And it has all right, too. But
the one thing I'll mention as well, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but a lot of the merch that you can buy in parks or in the hotel gift shops, it seems to be very overly priced in the dollars than if you were to be able to buy the same merchandise on Shop Disney over here.
Yeah.
So I know a few of the mystery pin packs that you can get, like 5 packs of pins. In some of the gift shops in the hotels, they were going for about $35. And if available on Shop Disney, which is a much more limited choice, but it's about £20 for the same packs. Okay. So it's strange that you'd think you'd get the cheaper price in the parks because, you know, it's all that location. So it's strange that you were getting it cheaper over here after it's all been shipped over.
Yeah, that is interesting. That it's very, it makes you wonder how they price, but I guess they know a lot of people will pay the excess when they're in the environment and when they're most excited and willing to shed that cash,
capitalizing on the excitement.
Oh yeah, of course.
Been there, bought the t-shirt.
Me.
But as we were saying, you can head out to various locations. There's not just the cheap shops around, scattered around in Kissimmee, International Drive, the touristy shops, the gift shops that you'll see. But you can. There are places like the Florida Mall and the outlets that you can get to that have some really, really good shops. And sometimes they have really, really good prices as well. And again, this is not just down to staying off property. If you're on property and you can make your way out there, then there is that. But if you're staying off property, there's more of a chance that you'll get to these areas because you're not stuck in the Disney bubble and you've more than likely got your own car, or you're so used to taking cabs that hopping in a cab and going to the mall doesn't seem like a hassle. Whereas in Disney, it might seem a little bit more work to go outside of the Disney bubble.
I think the one that's, if you're on site, that's probably most accessible is one of the, is it Vineland Premium Outlets or Vinewood
Vineland,
Premium
yes.
Outlets? Because I know one of those is actually right outside one of the entrances to the resort area. So if you can get a Uber, it's going to be really cheap just to hop around that corner.
Yeah, it's just things to think about if you're planning to stay on site and you're not planning to take a car, or you're not really thinking about leaving Disney to go to other theme parks or elsewhere, but you did want to go shopping or have a day trip. Obviously, your only option is going to be to get an Uber or a Lyft or a cab of some sort to get out there. But there are things available. You're not just stuck with Disney merchandise when Disney prices. If you wanted other things, there are available. It's just a little bit extra work to get to it, really. Now, I feel like we've been talking about both sides, but mainly about the benefits of staying off-site. So let's talk about Disney property itself and the benefits of staying in a Disney resort. Now, as we just mentioned about leaving Disney, saying you're kind of stuck in that bubble can be a little bit of a pain if you're wanting to get elsewhere. But when you're staying in a Disney resort, it is like no other. You are immersed in Disney 24/7, no matter where you are, because you're in that Disney bubble, and it's a completely different feeling. When I stayed on off-site resorts before, you have Disney during the day, leave, and then see tourist traps and different locations and a basic motel to stay in at the end of the night, which is nice. But to be immersed in Disney property all the time, there is nothing like it. And I know, Tom, you said you've not stayed on Disney property yet.
Not yet. Big dream.
But we're going to get you there. We are currently...
It's coming.
Hopefully
it's coming.
Planning a trip for later this year. I'm going to class it as a research trip for the podcast.
Business.
Exactly. And we're going to hopefully get Tom in his first Disney resort a little bit later so you can see exactly what I'm talking about with that.
I think that's the appeal as well of being in that bubble is, you know, got to give a big shout out and credit to the cast members that are there, because being surrounded by those amazing people that are working there, like, they are there to make your stay as magical as possible. And, you know, while I've not stayed in the hotels myself, I've been around to a few of them, done a bit of resort hopping, And they really are part of what's making that trip, that extra bit of making that trip a bit more special for you.
Oh yeah, though you don't realize how many cast members are working throughout the night at resorts, or throughout the day even when you're not there, just to make sure that when you get back to the hotel or when you wake up in the morning, everything is perfect. And it shows, because I can't think of a time I've walked through a Disney resort lobby and it being dirty or there being trash on the floor or anything like that. It's always been pristine. And little things like that that you don't pay attention to because you don't expect to look for things like that. And I think that's the little things that make it, are the things that you don't notice.
Yeah.
It's not what you do see, it's what you don't see. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think you don't really appreciate it when you're there. Like, I've never stayed off site, so I have really nothing to compare it to. But yeah, in Disney, I've never felt like I had to look out for rubbish or dirty facilities. It's always taken care of, and I think that's a testament to the people that work there.
Definitely. And leading off of that as well, inside the Disney bubble, I think that one of the main things as well for people, especially if you've never been to the US before, is you always feel safe. There's not a location that you go to that you think, I don't feel safe here. I've never had that. Outside of Disney bubble, Disney property, whatever, there are places that you go to and you're kind of watching your back a little bit, even in tourist areas, because you don't know the area and you don't know how things work in a different country, especially if you've never been there before. Sometimes it can be a little bit scary, and it kind of puts a little bit of a road bump, but it kind of makes the hotel, kind of makes the holiday a little bit, a little bit of a dark side on it, as you will, even though obviously not anything's going to happen to you, but just that in that mind, if you're in that mindset of thinking that you're scared or you feel uncomfortable or anything like that, which you don't get.
I'll give Orlando its dues. You know, that's sort of going to be the case most places you go, that, you know, if you're in a new place, you just got to have that sort of sense and sensibility about you, that, you know, you're going in the right places at the right times. You know, it's not anything specific about Orlando. It's just that when you're in that Disney bubble, you've not got that worry.
Yeah, exactly. It's not specifically about Orlando itself. I've been to places like Mexico, Dominican Republic. And if you go outside of the resorts there, you feel the same. But once you're stuck inside of the area that you know and that you know is safe, it just makes the holiday a little bit more relaxed and easier to enjoy, which is what Disney does. And moving on to the perks of things, we was chatting a little bit about this before we started recording. And we was talking about, obviously, the perks of staying on site of a Disney resort. I can't speak tonight. And I think the first thing that popped into mind was, well, it's not now called that, but Extra Magic Hours. I believe, what do we say it's called now? Is it named something
extra
different?
Extra Evening Magic or something like that.
Now, obviously, when it was Extra Magic Hours, they did used to do it morning and evening. And am I right in thinking they got rid of the morning hours now?
Yeah.
I think there's sometimes a half an hour in a morning. But yeah, as a whole, they seem to have quite heavily reduced. I mean, they seem to have reduced benefits across the board recently. But yeah, I think maybe half an hour in an evening, and then if you're lucky, you might get 2 hours half an hour in the morning, And then if you're lucky, you might get 2 hours in an evening.
Okay.
I don't know if it depending depends on the park. Where you stay as well.
Okay. Okay. Personally, for me, I prefer the later hours anyway, because I'm not a morning person. So if I have to, if I had to get up 2 hours earlier than I had to anyway, I wouldn't be too great at that, but I can stay awake all night. I'm definitely a night owl, so the evening hours definitely suit me a lot better.
I don't know if this is actually something they've done, but they seem to have just reduced hours in the parks anyway. Like I remember a trip that I went to for just after my 21st, and we did Magic Kingdom from 9 o'clock in the morning, and we left probably about 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And that was off-site, so that was standard opening hours. And I remember it because we did like 30-odd thousand steps that day. and it was a long day, but it was so great, like being able to be there in those late hours of the evening into the early hours of the morning. You know, obviously, crowds are going down massively. Everything looks great at night. Everything's lit up. But it seems long gone those days now.
Yeah, I think even when I was last there in 2019, I think majority of the time, parks closed around midnight latest. And even with the extra magic hours that they had at the time, the after hours parties that they had at the time, it was started at like 11 till 1, I believe. And like you say, I can remember when it used to stay open till 1, gone 1 a.m., just regular hours, never mind paying extra for it.
Good times.
The memories.
Back in my day.
Now, some of the perks, again, that we spoke about previously, have been taken away. And I feel like the main one that pops into mind is the Magical Express. And I know that's just a bus that takes you to your hotel, and they still offer the bus for a price. But to know that you didn't have to organize anything, you didn't have to do anything, well, except book the Magical Express. But you got to the airport, went to the counter, and just got on the bus. And that took you to your room.
I mean, the great thing as well was I don't think they did it for international visitors, but if you were traveling within the US, you actually didn't even need to see your luggage after you checked it in for your outbound flight, because checked it into your flight, you get on the bus, and then an hour or two after you've checked into your room, your luggage is there waiting for you.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to experience that once when I flew in from Canada, and it was a bit nerve-wracking, because I was worried. I was worried. I was like, was I meant to pick my case up at some point and then take it to the bus? Did I miss something? Have I just lost all my luggage? But luckily, they all turn up fine. And if they offered that to UK residents, that would be amazing. To drop it off at the airport and not see it again until you got to the resort. That would be so cool. That would be nice, if only.
I mean, at least the one thing with Magical Express going away is there is now no longer a Tragical Express.
This is true, yeah. For those that don't know, the Tragical Express is the name that we give it. The Magical Express, when on your way home, once it's bringing you back to the airport, it is now the Tragical Express.
The dreams have ended, and it is time to return back to reality.
But saying that, I don't think it's too much, because Mears, who ran the Magical Express, they still run their coaches from the airport from MCO, Orlando International Airport, to the Disney resorts. They just charge for it now, and it's not in a themed coach. And I think,
although some of them have still got, there's very few of them, but some of them still do have the layover wraps.
Oh, do they?
Them. Yeah, there's not many around, but I've definitely seen stories of a couple of people with either cruise line ones or a couple of the just the old standard character ones.
See, if I go back, or when I go back, if I got on one of those coaches and they didn't have the screens on, I would have to pull up the video on YouTube and just watch it, the video that they played inside, just to make me feel. Yeah, just pretend that I'm on the Magical Express. But I don't believe it's too expensive. I think it was, last time I checked,
I want to say about $40.
Yeah, about $40 return as well. So it's $20 each way. And depending, if there's only a couple of you, then that's fine. Because a cab from Orlando International to Disney Resort, you're probably going to be looking about $80 one way, I would assume. It's quite a distance. So it probably is the better option. And again, you don't have to worry about hopping in a cab and getting to the wrong place. Because many times I've took cabs in the US, or in Florida especially, and been taken to the wrong address, which was fun.
One time.
It's never really what you want, is it? A bit of an inconvenience.
Not really, no. Especially when you're trying to get to work. Going back to the perks of Disney, is, again, we spoke about it briefly in the bubble, but the theming of the Disney resorts is something that you don't get
level.
At any resort. Well, you do get themed resorts outside of Disney, but it's not the same. From the canteen, cafeteria, restaurant area, to the foyer, to the pool bar, to the rooms themselves. Everywhere is themed, and I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's an area in any Disney resort that is not themed to the designated theme.
Nothing that comes to my head. I think the thing they do as well is, whilst they know where to go over the top and where to be subtle. So the new rooms they've put into some of the All-Stars, I think at Pop as well, they've got the updated rooms. It's a very sort of modern look. Some sort of basic, but it's very sleek sort of cartoon imagery. Mm-hmm. But then when you go in through Art of Animation courtyards or through the courtyards in the All-Star resorts, that's when you've got the big, bigger than life sort of architecture and the statues and the theming going on there. So they know where to be in your face and where to rein it back a bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they would never do anything such as take a hotel such as the Contemporary Resort and put superhero characters in there, such as the Incredibles, that doesn't fit and really makes it stand out. But that's a whole different topic. Moving on, next. Obviously, one of the most important things, we've covered pretty much everything from staying off-site and on-site, except the prices. Now.
And that's where it makes the difference.
Exactly. As we know, we've been looking at prices for a trip later on this year. And depending on where you go, you could get a off-site hotel for approximately half the price of the cheapest Disney Value resort. And again,
I think to cut in here as well is you're not just paying the cheaper price, you're getting more space for what you're paying as well.
That is true. That is true, yeah.
Some of those Disney rooms are small. You get one or two double beds in there. You've got maybe a set of drawers where your TV is and your bathroom, and that's it.
Yeah.
Although,
the rule we're staying in that century is quite tight, and we're going with four people. So.
Although I have stayed in when I was at Anaheim, I stayed in a motel there, and the room was really, really big, and there was a lot of floor space for no reason, and it felt like I could dance around the room in there. There was just so much space, and it felt too big and open. I know that might sound weird, but I kind of liked...
Yeah, you've lost me a bit there.
I kind of liked everything in its place. There was place for the dresser. There was place for the beds and bedstands. But there wasn't just like...
There was just too much space. It just didn't make sense. It was just empty,
they could have fitted another double bed and dresser and table and chairs in there.
Yeah.
And it I don't know. It didn't feel right. But...
the place I've stayed, they sort of use that extra space and almost turn it into like a living room kind of area.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got another table, TV,
yeah,
bit of a kitchenette.
If that would have happened, yeah, that would have made a lot more sense. But without that, I don't know, it felt strange anyway. But yeah, moving on to the prices. Again, the cheapest Disney resort is always going to be more expensive than the cheapest off-site hotel that you're going to find. But some of these hotels, I'm not going to lie, aren't the greatest. And they might not have the best reviews. So obviously you're going to want to spend that extra little bit of money to make sure that you're staying in a nice resort that's safe, that's near things, that has exactly what you need for your trip. And still, that might be cheaper than Disney. But to me, as we said, looking at pricing a trip up for later this year, the extra, I believe, what was it? £200-300 per person, I believe.
I think one of the biggest things is what it comes down to is volume in numbers. So the more people you've got staying in a room, obviously everyone's charging you for the room rate rather than per head. So if you can split that cost up between more of you, it's going to become a lot better value quite quickly.
Exactly. When we was looking recently, the hotels, the value hotels that we was looking at, the value resorts, I think for 2 weeks it was around £2,500. So almost 200-ish a day or per night. Sorry. So obviously if you had four people to fill that room up, that's £50 per person tonight, per night. But if you was only two of you, that price skyrockets to £100 per person per night.
And especially if you start going on those solo trips as well, which are becoming a bit more common. That's when it hits you.
Yeah, definitely that as well. But as you say, there's volume in numbers. Is that what you said? Is that the right saying?
I did, and it's completely wrong, but I was just going with it and hoping no one noticed.
I was
going
to say, I said it, and it sounded weird, and I thought, I swear that's what I heard, but something like that. I don't remember the actual saying, but there's something in something. And when we're looking, we're going to be sharing rooms, and potentially that extra £200-300 per person for the entire 2 week period for us. We found it more fitting to do that rather than staying off site and paying the extra for cabs or car and parking, etc.
Yeah, because that's the one thing as well. If you are staying off site, and you know, I'd say if you're budgeting for Ubers, you're probably in the region of about $400-500, you know, if you want to go to parks. Yeah, say budgeting about $400-500 for Ubers if you want to go to parks and then take a couple of extra trips to bars, restaurants, shopping, etc. And car hire at the minute, if you want to go down that route, is crazy. Like, it's It's so strange that it shot up after COVID for whatever reason, and it did start to take a dip last year later on, but it's just gone right back up again. And you're looking at like $600 just for a standard economy car for 2 weeks at the minute,
which is crazy. I remember when I used to get a car rental in Florida, and it used to be around £100 a week. So to hear it's gone up that much is ridiculous.
I mean, if you ever booked with Virgin Holidays over here, more often than not, if you were staying off site, they actually included car hire in the price.
Oh, really?
And I actually say included because you'd really not notice any sort of significant price difference for it not being there in the day. I think that's probably going back to, I'm not sure if it was included in my 2019 trip, but definitely before that, I remember it being part of the cost. And now they've taken that away and the prices have stayed about the same. But then when you add that car hire cost on as well, it significantly jumps it up.
Yeah, and that's the little things that you've got to consider as well. Use little things like not only the car hire, but then you have to think about the fuel. And then you have to think about the car insurance, which you may already have coverage for on, say, like from a bank or something like that, that covers you for international car rental. But when you get there, they will always try and sell you extra insurance to make sure you're covered.
Never take the extras. It's not worth it.
Although I think one time I did, because like the first time I took a car out there, because I was just so nervous and I just wanted to make
it
sure
got
it was
you.
Safe. Yeah. But that was only once.
Yeah, the best option is if you do want that extra cover, just take a policy out, a short-term policy out over here, or, you know, find something online. It's going to give you the exact same cover at less than a tenth of the price that they're going to try and sell it to
you. They charge ridiculous prices for that extra coverage. Okay, now that we've kind of gone over things, let's talk about which is best in terms of personal preference, really, or affordability, because that's what it all comes down to. Some people, it's affordability. Some people, it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip, and they want to make sure they're getting that full experience, that Disney experience. Obviously, if you're going down a budget route, you may be better off outside of Disney. But it's one of those things where would you rather take that, or would you rather spend that extra little bit if you can afford it and stay on property at a value resort? Now, I know with Tom, you've always stayed off-site, but we're getting you to Disney property. And I believe, by the looks of it, we might be skipping you the values and headed straight at Tremodera as well. So we'll see. We'll see.
Throw me in at the deep end.
You'll never want to go to a value once you've been there again.
Yeah, like I said, I think the biggest thing is knowing why, what your purpose of the trip is. You know, are you going for that once in a lifetime trip where you're going to make the most of every opportunity you've got, and you absolutely, you need to stay on site, you know, get, or if it's possible, stay on site, you know, get the most of that bubble, immerse yourself in it fully. But then if it's something you do in, you know, every year, every 2 years, if you're lucky enough to be able to do that, you know, maybe off-site's not that bad an option for you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And if you're going on your own, like you say, the prices can get really expensive really fast. So you've got to take that into consideration. And plan your budget out of what you can afford, and take everything into account as well. It's not just the resort, One thing that we didn't actually mention is, I know we spoke about this before, is that a lot of hotels outside of Disney also charge a resort fee, which most of the time don't tell you until you get there.
Yeah, you've got to keep an eye out for some of those. Not all of them do it, but it's definitely becoming a bigger practice that they do, and sometimes they can be expensive. They can be at as much as sort of $25-$30 a day.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that very quickly adds up.
Definitely does, especially if it's something that you never planned for, to have an extra $300-$400 for the 2-week trip taken out of your account of what you plan to spend on food or merchandise.
The biggest key is, if the price looks too good to be what it is for the hotel you're staying at, it may well be too good to be true.
It's very true. Very true. Now, I think we know where we're going with this one, but for you guys here, where would you prefer to stay?
Go on, Hannah.
Probably on-site, but I wouldn't mind having the opportunity to stay off-site, because I've never done that before.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know whether it's personal bias playing into that.
Yeah, I think it's sort of similar story for me. Like, I would absolutely love to stay on site at some point. Like, Port Orleans Riverside is my dream realistic resort. You know, if we're talking absolute dreams, of course it's Polly Bungalows. But I think, yeah, I've actually always stayed at the same hotel every time I've been, and this is going back more than 20 years. Wow. We've always been to the exact same hotel, and it's been fantastic. You know, location's always great, staff great, got breakfast included. It's right on the edge of Old Town Kissimmee, so you've got that little extra attraction to just around the corner. And I've always said I've always been happy there. You know, I think it's become such a common thing that it's basically been a tradition at this point. But yeah, I don't think I could ever turn down that temptation of staying on site if the opportunity came along.
I definitely get that. And again, as I mentioned, I used to stay off site from first going to Walt Disney World until the past few years. And I don't know if I could go off property. I probably could, but 90% of me would want to stay on property. Now, just from all the experiences I've had and the fact that I want to try and get as many Disney resort stays and different resorts in as I possibly can in my lifetime.
Have you thought about DVC?
I have thought about it, but I don't have that kind of money and I don't think I would get the use out of it. Unfortunately, if I was able to take 2 trips a year, or even 1 trip a year, possibly. But also, DVC, we're not going to get too much into it because we might talk about this in a future show. DVC, you only get a certain amount of points per year, and majority of those points, depending on where you're staying, may only get you 2 or 3 nights.
Yeah, you've got to get the right plan for you if you go down that route. And
exactly, especially with coming.
Some of those right plans get a bit more expensive.
Yeah, especially from the UK. If you're taking a 2-week trip and you want 2 weeks worth of DVC, I think you're better off renting points. But again, we'll get into that in a future episode at some point. All right, I think that about covers it for this episode or show. I'm still not sure what we're calling it yet.
magical attraction.
We'll go with that for now. Welcome to Magical Attraction number 4.
Yeah, it doesn't sound quite sound right, does it?
We'll figure it out. But yeah, thank you guys for joining me on this little topic for this episode. I keep wanting to say tonight, but people might not be listening to it in the evening, so we're recording in the evening, by the way. That is why I keep wanting to say this evening. But I hope you guys have enjoyed this little chat about resorts on-site and off-site. If you have, be sure to go and follow us on show socials. We're on Instagram and TikTok at Ears to the Parks. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us at contact@earstotheparks.com. I'll go ahead and put all of those contact information and links in the show notes as well. And if you have any comments that you'd like to send in, again, feel free to do so. Or if you'd like to hear something on the show in the future, go ahead and we'd love to hear from you and hear your ideas and thoughts for future episodes. I went with episodes there.
I think scene is coming right, yeah.
But yeah, thank you for joining along, and I hope to see you next time here on your Fast Pass to the Magic, Ears to the Parks, the podcast. Take care, guys.
See you next time, guys.
Bye.